podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. We are back in the new year. Sorry we're late and all that jazz, but yeah, happy Christmas, happy new year. I hope you had a boss time, whatever you got up to. But yeah, we're back to discuss what feels like, 12 Liverpool games, is it? 12, 13 Liverpool games? Nah, it feels like loads and it feels like a lot of time has passed, but I am Mick as usual and I'm joined by Christian as usual. Before we get into quite a bit of stuff, Christian, how are you doing, lad? How was your Christmas whiskey? How was your New Year's whiskey?
Yeah, it was good. Well, I'm good. You know, it's always nice with a new year starting. It always feels like a fresh new start, you know, for everyone, like a new year, new opportunities and everything like that. So I'm kind of always very pumped up with energy, like every time there's a new year. And yeah, I had a great Christmas. My mum was here, you know, celebrating with the family and stuff, so it was nice, a little bit of a break from work. I'm back now on Monday, and obviously we have had a little bit of a break as well because of family stuff, and you've been traveling to Scotland and, you know, been away, so we haven't had the chance really to, you know, have a proper time to record anything. So it's the way it is when you do that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm all good, and I'm looking forward to, you know, Liverpool in the new year as well, because at the moment it looks very great.
It does. It's very exciting. Like we've just been speaking about before we started recording, about like where we are now and stuff, and we'll get onto that in a bit. But the games that we've not spoke about, I think the last one we were talking about, like an Arsenal preview, of course, we drew with Arsenal in that game at home, which was let's not even get into like Odegaard handballs and all that stuff. And one of them where it would have been lovely to win that and to go clear the top of the table at the time and stuff, but just wasn't to be, I guess, in a game like that. And that can happen in games against Arsenal. It's always obviously a very good side. We then go to Burnley away on Boxing Day and beat them 2-0. And again, that was another game where we made it harder for ourselves. But of course, again, officials came into it with offside goals and whatever else, and we won't even get into it because that'll take another 45 minutes moaning about officials, and we've done enough of that this year. Like you said, new year, fresh start. It'll probably take one or two games to moaning about officials again, so we'll save it for then when they deserve it a bit more. So we beat Burnley 2-0, which was again a good win, and then we get to New Year's Day and we beat Newcastle 4-2, and we might as well talk about that one a little bit more because it's the freshest one. Highest XG on record, and I've seen, of course, we haven't done a show in quite a while, so I've been watching quite a lot of stuff, and it's been interesting to see like all the stat nerds. I include myself in that, so that's not a diss because I'm fully a stat nerd myself. Just how mad, like, that I think it was like 7 points on the XG, which is, I think the record before that was like 5 points something, and I think when you break that down over like the years and whatever, it's just crazy how high that is. And like we were saying before we started recording, how impressive it is. I mean, 4-2 doesn't, I think it flatters Newcastle, to be honest. I think it was 9 big chances. I think we had, we scored 4 of them. They had 2 and scored 2. I think it says a lot that they just took the chances, were clinical, and we were just very, very fucking good, but we just didn't get enough, didn't put the ball over the line enough times. Either way, it was a great win. I think it was a hard fought win in the end, weirdly, because the way the game went and all that, but a massive win over a team who are trying to drum up this fake rivalry. I hate this, like, new, I hate these like new rivalries that are trying, like obviously the City ones come up, and that's, I guess, that it is now. But like in the past, we've had like other ones, and like this Newcastle one is just like, I think it's hilarious. But it was a massive win, New Year's Day, and a great way to start start, like you said, to start the new year and to start off on the right foot with a dominant performance.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming from the games, Man United at home, Arsenal at home, the 0-0, 1-1, and feeling that you missed a bit there when you had a chance to get that, actually the all 3 points, when you saw the game against Man United was a little bit slow. We wasn't creative enough. Arsenal was tougher, obviously, because they are a really good team at the moment, but still felt like we were a little bit robbed, like you mentioned there. So it's just nice to play Newcastle at home, another team where I wouldn't say it's the same level as Arsenal, obviously, but, you know, still last year was really good and played Champions League this year, you know, and creating something, obviously having good players. But it's good to see that, you know, they didn't stand a chance playing against us at Anfield the first day of the new year. And I felt, like I said, that's the feeling. And I mentioned it before we started recording as well to you, that that's how I want to see Liverpool play every game at home. Like, yeah, just fly out from the start and just don't give them time on the ball. Just, you know, create stuff in the first minute, just show them that you won't stand a chance here, because that's something that they will probably feel straight away as well, the opposition, like, what the fuck is going on? We don't have, like, their game plan is out of the window straight away, because they don't get the chance to even settle it and feel like they got control in any part. And you mentioned the stats as well, and I looked just now on the live score stats, which was also quite amazing when I looked at the goalkeeper saves, and we had one and they had 11. According to the stats on the year. And, you know, we've got shots on target 15-3, shots off target 8-1, blocked shots 15-1. So, you know, it's one of them where, and you mentioned the XGs, obviously, but it's just one of them where you feel like that's what, I understand that you can't do it every game in those numbers, but if you can have those kind of games where you are creative enough, when you have loads of runs and asking questions, you know, for the other team, and just make sure that they don't get the chance to even settle a bit, that's when you will come away, you know, in almost every game, at least at home, and win, because no one will stand a chance, to be honest. That's how good we are at home if we play like this.
Yeah, well, just on the shot thing, like, I think there was a Sky Sports put like a screenshot of like most shots in the in a Premier League game this season. So Liverpool against Newcastle had 34. We matched the other record, which is 34 against Man United, Liverpool, when we of course you just spoke about them, where we just couldn't score. But yeah, we're the top two in that list on 34 goals, which is, it proves how good Liverpool are this season. But it also, I'd like to see Liverpool winning by more goals, to be honest, just off the back of those two, where we could have been, well, half time we could have been out of sight. Like, if we go through the game, like, Salah gets the penalty, and we won't get into the whole Salah penalty thing, because we've done that, and it's, we know what me and Christian think about that, like, lefties on pens and his technique and whatever else, like, we've said it all. But he misses the pen, and then you're going into the half time 0-0, and you're like, how the fuck is this 0-0? And you're like, I guess it's one of them where you're like, is it going to be one of them days? Are the players going to, is that them feeding into the players' minds? Like, oh, we just can't score yet. It's going to be one of them where you can play for 3 weeks and never score. And I think that was kind of the feeling. But we come out at halftime, and after halftime we get one straight away, which was just kind of like a big sigh of relief for me. I was like, oh, there we go. Like, the players obviously went in, and even Salah said after the game, like, he changed his boots at half time because he was like, am I going to go to Cup of Nations after a performance like that? And I don't think so. So he like changed his boots, looked himself in the mirror, and we're like, sort it out, lad. Came out like on fire in the second half. And it was, it was a mad second half. Of course, there was six goals in the second half, and Liverpool were just all over them. Like, we can talk about performances. Like, Mo Salah was incredible. Joe Gomez again, incredible. Endo again, we've spoken in the past about, like, maybe him not being quite the level, like, we need him to up the levels. I think over the last couple of weeks in the games that we've not spoke about, he's played all the time, and he's been fucking tremendous, to be honest. But that second half was just a bit of a mad one, weren't it? I would have loved it to have been six goals for Liverpool, to be honest, just to blow them away. But yeah, 4-2, I don't think it's a clear, is a proper reflection of what the game was, but it proves that Liverpool create fucking shitload of chances, and we just need to start scoring more of them.
Yeah, and you know, the first goal there, just after the start of the second half, was very important for the whole. I think, like you mentioned there with Sal as well, we come from this first half where we create so many chances and don't finish them off. And like you said, the feeling comes to you as a supporter watching the game, like this is going to be one of them where we just continue to create, shoot, and the goalkeeper's going to have his best game ever. And we won't hit the, you know, we would just hit the bar and the post and stuff. And obviously, if we get that feeling as supporters, you know, even they are professionals. I think the players, you know, that feeling comes into them as well. Like, fucking hell, you know, it's going to be one of them. It doesn't matter what we do. This ball is not going to find the net. But then, you know, because I know that obviously Darwin Núñez, still my lover boy. I was saying, but you know, he's getting, you know, some stick from you know, our own fans, and not many, because loads of them obviously have turned around on him and think, you know, he's great in many other things. But you know, a lot of other people who thinks a lot or have, you know, jobs in football, talking about football, you know, they're talking about the way he misses chances. And yes, he do. And I, you know, I even wrote to you that, you know, I love him, but it's time for him to, you know, start to turning those chances into goals, because in the end of the day, that will make a big difference in the long term. Because if you don't do that and it continues like that, we'll probably lose some more points than win it. So when you get into those positions and don't create those chances, you need to be able to finish the majority of them off. But you know, I think I wrote to you what actually Klopp said later in the interview after the game, that, you know, the when Núñez is very, you know, cold-minded, whatever you call it, when he get the chance there, when he actually passed into Salah to score, because someone who has created so many, got into so many positions and had so many chances and missed, would like to maybe in his head just, I go for goal here because I need that goal. But he's very, you know, calm and find that pass. And I like that, because that's shows that he's very clever and still has belief in himself, because he doesn't panic. So that was very important. That's what Klopp said as well, to find Salah there instead of taking a shot himself. It proves, you know, a mind of, okay, I know what to do. I know my position. I know what, you know, everything. So that also makes me feel quite calm that he's not worried about himself not scoring as many fans can be. I think he just knows that I'm just going to continue to do this. So that goal obviously was really, really good. And then obviously they came back with Isak, a Swedish fellow, so you know, who scored a great goal. But that's the thing, and I've straight got like things on Twitter, people saying, well, just imagine Isak playing up front for Liverpool, you know, because he would score so many goals a day. And I was like, yeah, he's good, he's a good finisher, and I think he's very good. He's proved me wrong that he actually is capable of playing the Premier League and all that, because I didn't think he was going to be that good. But at the same time, I think, you know, he's not, you know, you can talk about him scoring and Darwin Núñez not scoring that much, but the work and the chances and, you know, everything that Darwin Núñez does extra for the team in the way we play, at the minute, I wouldn't swap him for almost anyone, to be honest, because he gives so much to this team and creates so much space and, you know, creates so much trouble for defenders that it brings something for everyone else. So, yeah, but, you know, when it was 1-1 there, you know, just after we scored, I felt like, come on, why can't we just finish another goal, you know, and get this game just 2-0 up, control it, and then go from there. Instead, we have to make it hard for ourselves at that time.
As always, as we always do. It's not a Liverpool game if Liverpool don't do that. But yeah, I think the whole Núñez thing is mad. And it's just because social media, everyone's putting their opinions out there. So you see it and you're like, I guess it does affect you a little bit when you're reading so much about it. And that's why I try and spend less time on there, because I just want to like have my own opinion and like just see what I'm seeing. And the chances he's missing, yeah, it's not good. But like that one where he runs through and the defender panics and he gets it, and then I think he should score that one, but he creates that by being a chance magnet.
And it's a good save. You know, the goalkeeper comes out and make himself big. You know, it's hard to get a ball around someone just coming around.
Yeah,
and so close to you. So,
I guess I'm just thinking from like if like a natural finisher. I guess if they were just in that situation, but it'd been passed to them, I think they score. I don't know if it's because he has to run and then he ran full speed and then he's in front of the goalie and he doesn't. it's those little moments where I think he can be better, though. If he could go around the keeper, he could, I don't know, he could lob it a little bit, chip it, whatever. There's loads of options. But I think just in those certain scenarios, I think he does. Sometimes I think it's better when he hasn't got time to think, which I think is true. But there's certain scenarios where I think he just needs to have a breath and just go, right, I've practiced this loads in training. Like, I need to do what I've been doing, because I imagine in training he scores fucking loads because there's no pressure on him or whatever, and he doesn't have to think about like what happens if I miss or whatever. He just does it. So I think in certain scenarios he can be, it's clear he can be loads better. I think everyone can see that. But I think once it's having that, I don't know, still having patience with him, I think that's the thing that we still need to know, that he's, if he wasn't doing anything for us, he wouldn't be starting games, he wouldn't be on the pitch, he wouldn't be anywhere near the pitch. But he's creating stuff, he's always involved. He was involved in the little knock-off to Szoboszlai to get one of the goals, so, which we'll talk about.
And scoring against Burnley, we can't, don't forget about that. It's a great goal against Burnley.
It's a great goal. Actually, the bit I've just put on, that might have been the first goal, actually. Was it where it got knocked, Nunes knocks it down, Szoboszlai then gets it, plays it out. It's that goal we're talking about, Ignore me, I'm not well. that's the chance, and it's a little bit like that, where you think he's not maybe scoring enough, but in terms of being involved in the game and running after the ball, just making himself known. And what I loved is that he posted on Instagram after the game, and he posted, always alive, never dead. Like, just something like that, where he's like, he doesn't care about like anything. He clearly doesn't care about anything that like negativity like surround him. He obviously sees it on Instagram and whatever else, but he's always there. He's never like, he never shies away from anything. Like, he's always there. He's always making himself known and getting into positions. And I think the more he does that, I think like people always say, he's a chance magnet. He's always going to have chances. He just needs to, once he starts converting like 5-10% more of them, then will be. Liverpool will win games easier, I think. And I think it's having that just presence of mind in certain scenarios, I think, to hopefully start doing that a bit more. Like I said, Isak scores a good goal, to be fair to him. Like, he is a very good player. And then Curtis Jones gets us another tap in. But again, another performance from him, he's came back into the side and had a bit of a boss season last season, and he's had a bit of a patchy one this year with suspensions and injuries and whatever else, but he's came back in, and I think it's clear that when he's in the side, we have more balance. I think that's clear to see. We have on that left-hand side, he's got that counter-press, and Klopp mentioned it after the game, like how good he is at counter-pressing, and he's now dribbling in the right ways. He's not like, he used to just get it, dribble a little bit, come back, pass it backwards. Now he gets it and goes, right, how can I get at this defence? And he runs forward. I think you've seen that in the Newcastle game where he's running forward. He's in and around the penalty box, and once you're in the pen box, people don't want to touch it, obviously, because you can get a penalty. But he's making those runs and making stuff happen, and to get another goal as well, I think is another sign that he's starting to believe in himself a little bit more. I think the West Ham game was massive for him, where he was just scored a few goals and was heavily involved in everything. And I think he's starting to, I mean, he's always got confidence in himself, but I think he's starting to believe that he's part of fully of this Liverpool side now, and he's a mainstay in it.
Yeah, and it's been great, and I think it also proves the way of being patient as a supporter, like we mentioned with Darwin as well, because we have that patience with Curtis Jones for quite a long time, obviously, because he broke through when he was 18 and got the chance, and he scored nice goals back then already, and everyone's like, whoa. But not everyone just goes up on a high straight away when coming through as a young kid. But I think the potential has always been there. Like, you could see from the start, he's got something extra as a footballer. He got that little bit of, cheekiness over him, and he's good with the ball and technique and stuff. So it was just a matter of have patience and let Klopp and his staff just work with him. And hopefully they can, find those little buttons on him where you create this player where you... Because Klopp mentioned as well that, they've been on him about, moving the ball quicker and being, all that kind of stuff. And some... takes a little bit of time maybe to adjust to role, to tasks and stuff, because he's maybe been more of a natural creative player. Now he's learned to do the job like in a tactical way, I guess, like you said, with the counter pressing, coming back into space, and also when he receives the balls, he's he's doing the right dribbles, but I also think he's doing the right turns with the ball. He turns into space, into right space, which gives him a few seconds extra to find a player or even, you know, start moving the ball forward quicker, like Klopp mentioned. So I think before he's been more safe, maybe turned away and give it a pass back to the defenders, like you said as well. But I think now he's more brave. He knows his, you know, the surroundings around him, what players are close to him or not. So when he receives it, he makes sure that I do the right decision here, turns into space, finds someone else, make a move and get the ball back. Things happens. And then you can see what a great player he actually is. And he's still very young. And I like that he's local. You know, he's one of ours. And I think that we should just enjoy that we... He might not be a starter all the time. I think at the moment, yes, he's a starter because he's been so good. But, you know, whenever he gets a knock that he usually gets, or if he's a little bit out of form, it's still like a luxury problem that he got, like, someone with that kind of quality that can be on the bench and come in and make a mark on the game. Or, you know, if he starts, we know that, yeah, we know what we got. So I think it's just brilliant that we kind of have a midfield with so many options where its quality is so high and they got different skills as well. So, you know, it's nothing to complain about. It's almost, no. Always just something to be very, very happy about.
Yeah, and I saw some stuff on Twitter about, like, Arsenal maybe sniffing around him. Mikel Arteta's apparently interested in him. But, I mean, for me, that just speaks volumes about how good he is. If other teams like Arsenal are interested in him, then they clearly know how good he is and how good he can be. He's, like, I think he's 23, end of the month. So he's, when you think about that, like, he's still... nowhere near anywhere like the polished finished article. He's got loads of work to do. That's clear as well. I guess similar to Nunes. But in terms of, like, what he can provide for this team, I think, like you said, he can have patches where he goes in and out. But when he's on it, like he has been, he's a nailed on starter. I think we've had times early in the season, I guess, where he was out and then Gravenberch was shown good form. But I think it's the roles have reversed now, and Jones is fully back in there and on merit as well. But then we get the third goal and Cody Gakpo. It's just like it was mad. Like, it was all like they were all like basically tap-ins, weren't they? I think the Gakpo one was a tap-in. Like, it kind of just came off the bottom of his studs, didn't it? A bit of a mad one. I don't think he really meant the way it went in, but
it's a misjudged touch, I think.
Yeah, he tries to hit it with, like, the inside of his foot, but it just hits his studs a little bit, so it goes off at a different angle, but. It worked because fucking Dubravka, of course, whenever a goalie comes to Anfield and they're expected to be shit, they turn into Superman. It just happens all the time. Like, we just expect it. And he was on top form, saving everything. So I think that kind of helped us in a way, that Gakpo kind of mishit it because it went in the corner or in the middle of the goal where he didn't expect it to. But yeah, then at 3-1, 78th minute, you're like, right, should be game over, but Liverpool don't do that. Liverpool don't like to do that. 3 minutes later, Sven Botman goes down at the end and scores a good header, to be fair, off a corner. And then you're like, now there's 10 minutes left here where if they get one, it's drawn. If we imagine we would have drew that game. Just imagine that would have been one of the most infuriating games I would have ever watched if we would have drew that game 3-3.
Yeah.
But we might as well go to the second penalty, and let's talk about the pass from, because Alexis McAllister came on for Endo on the 75th minute, and it was nice to see McAllister just get 15, like last 15, just give him a bit of a little way back into the side after being out for a while with an injury. And the pass he played was just absolutely just a striker's dream. Jota's on the halfway line waiting for it, and he just the way he plays outside of the foot, and he's through on goal, and then Jota's about to score, and then he falls over, and then everyone's been speaking about that for the last, like, what? Probably still today. There's probably still Newcastle fans right now tweeting about that, which I just think it's hilarious. Like, whenever something goes wrong for a side, so, like, this season we've had loads, haven't we? I'd say the Odegaard goes in there, we've got the goal against Spurs, we've had sending off that shouldn't have been, and then, all you get from, like, rival fans on Twitter anyway, I always say it's not a real barometer of what a real fan is on Twitter, but it's always like, oh, it evens itself out as the season goes. And it's like, all right, it'll even itself out. So even if you take that Jota one as a dive, then isn't that not even itself out, because we're getting penalties that we shouldn't be given? Like, I just, the whole narrative, it always just switches and turns to whatever people believe. But at the end of the day, it was a penalty for me, because he gets fouled. he obviously then thinks, he's thinking about it and he's like, should I carry on and score? But then he thinks, well, to be honest, I don't know what the fuck he's thinking, because I just think he should just go around the keeper and score, to be honest, because he's a goal scorer. But clearly then the touch that Dubravka makes on him is enough for him to go down, because otherwise he wouldn't have, because he's a goal scorer. He wants to score goals, and he would have easily just tapped that into the net and it would have been 4-2 and it would have been his goal. But I think that the whole thing, and then Salah scoring it, and then I think because Salah scored as well, and it was like the end of the game, like Newcastle fans are then saying, oh, but we were in the game, we could have, if that pen weren't given, we could have scored a goal and it could have been 3-3 and blah, 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 blah. And I'll stop ranting now, but I just feel like the whole thing is hilarious. Just it's kept me entertained since the game happened.
Yeah, and I was straight away on Twitter saying, you know, it's a clear pen for me, and I got, you know, people back saying, you know, he's a dive and stuff, but... You know, I actually agree with a few people who've said afterwards when they, you know, seen the situation properly and, you know, reviewed it, and that, you know, obviously Dubravka is actually on him, like properly on the last foot that he has, and he takes another step and then, you know, falls over a little bit after. Takes a bit long, yes, but then people say we see it in slow motion, but you know, in speed it goes quite quick, and obviously he might just be a little bit pushed out of position and balance. So, you know, whether he tries to come around the ball and score, maybe it's just like that little nudge in that speed just makes him comes out of balance and you fall, because you lose your, I don't know, like, what do you call it? But anyway, so, because he's a goal scorer, if he could have stood up and actually put that ball into the net, I think he would. Like, it's a natural thing. So I don't think he's going down easy, yes, but he's going down as in a speed where you get like your foot knocked out, you just get out of balance. And then I think that maybe he quickly have the sense of, okay, it's just for me to obviously go down. But I think that if he could have stood up, that he would have scored, because he loved to score. He's not one of them who's like, oh, let's just get, you know, he's just one of them who's natural goal scorer when it comes in those positions. So whether he went down, you know, falls over or not, I think it's still a clear pen. And, you know, some people said, oh, he's diving. And I said, but if it was the other way around, when I saw the replay, I wouldn't be screaming for a dive. I would probably be like, yeah, he's on him. Because, and I try to not have my Liverpool Googles on me then. I would be like, if that was against us, if Newcastle had that with Isak, for example, and Alisson comes out and actually I see the replay and I see him touches his last foot and everything, and he goes down, I can't say anything. He's through on goal, and the goalkeeper is on him. He's touching him, and he's touching him in a way where, yes, he knocks his foot out of position. He's out of balance. He goes down. I could never say anything against that and say, nah, it shouldn't be a penalty, because the goalkeeper comes out and doesn't take the ball. It takes the player. A penalty. It's like,
yeah, it's quite funny, easy, like, to be honest. Yeah, I just. I would have just, like we've just said, I would have preferred just Jota just to score, but he must have, I'd love to know like his thoughts on it, like he must have like knocked him enough to knock him over, like, but when you look at the pens, the decisions given this season, there's loads of them. I think the Isak got one, I can't remember against what team, but he makes a turn, puts his foot down, then he falls over. It's like, it happens all the time, but just like, yeah, it's always, when it's Liverpool, it seems to be the way to just moan about it even more, especially on social media. And again, another reason why I don't try and go on there, because it's just full of just people just moaning about stuff. Like, yeah, it's just it can drive you insane. It really can. But yeah, we win the game, rightly so. Like, people saying that we didn't, because of the penalty and whatever, like, it was, didn't deserve to win. And Alan Shearer saying it was fucking embarrassing, and Eddie Howe moaning about decisions, and you're just like, come on, let's stop deflecting from the real truth here, that you got absolutely fucking tanked. You didn't even deserve to be anywhere near that game. Like, to only get beat by two goals, to be honest, is a travesty. It really is. Highest XG on record, and Liverpool playing well and creating so much. We should have been out of sight.
Yeah, but when you look at that, with people like Alan Shearer and obviously their manager coming out as well, moaning about things, and obviously they can have their opinions on the penalty, for example. I understand their opinions is there for, because it's a situation where you can judge a little bit differently and stuff. For me, it's a clear pen because it's on him, like I said. But, you know, I can understand that people have the opinions, but at the same time, like you said, it's 4-2. But, you know, when they come out and say that they would have had the chance, if the game would have gone as the stats says, we probably would have won like 6-7, 8-0.
Exactly.
Or 8-2 or 9-1. I don't know, like something like that. So it's more, what's embarrassing is that they are coming and being fucking so shite, even though they're playing away. They're being so fucking bad with this team being, you know, raised up as something new that, you know, we got Champions League last season and fucking went out there straight away because Champions League is not for everyone. And also, I understand the second year sometimes have a little of a backlash because you've been on a high and then you need to, you know, get the form and have that steady through a season and create a better performance throughout the season as well. And it's hard if you know, the only thing which I can, you know, respect Newcastle for in a way with their owners and stuff is that they haven't like gone out and bought like everyone like Chelsea or did when Roman came in, or like they're doing now, or how Man City's done it. They still bought like quite cleverly players who can develop, players they need in their system. So I kind of like that because they have bought, you know, players that they need and how they can improve in that way, in a way that we had, but obviously we don't have the same kind of money. But I like that way that they've done it. At the same time, I think, you know, they are a good team, but when they come to us and get, you know, that they don't have a chance and we just all over them and create all these chances and it's only 4-2. I think to come out and say, you know, it's embarrassing with the penalty situation, they should look at themselves and be embarrassed by their performance and see how they can actually improve themselves. Because even if it's away at Anfield against Liverpool, it's very good to, you know, be in a position where they could have beaten 8-9-0, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
And we were talking about before we started recording about like this time last year, and I had a quick look on the Premier League website just to see where we were. So like obviously now we're top of the league, 20 games played, 45 points, three points clear the top of the table. If you go back to last year, after 20 games, Liverpool were 10th in the league, 29 points, like. 10th in the league, like 16 points better off. And I think it just goes to show like how far we've come. I think it's like you said again with Newcastle, it's interesting because they're on 29 points after 20 games. Like they're on the exact same that we were last year, and we were thinking this is like a horrific season because obviously the levels that we'd set to have a season like we did and finish fifth or whatever, you're just like, what is going on? I think it's clear that Newcastle are having hopefully one of them seasons where it happens to them, but it just proves just how much Liverpool are again, like we keep saying, like every time we do a show, like about the new midfield and Klopp 2.0 and whatever else, it's just so exciting to see like players coming in and doing well, and players that have been there and we thought were done, like the likes of Joe Gomez, who's been unbelievable, to be honest. He's been incredible how good Joe Gomez has been. I can't even believe it myself when I'm seeing how good he's flying into tackles, trusting his body into 50-50s and running up and down, overlapping balls into the box. I just fucking being a proper fullback.
Comes into the pen area and have shots as well. We're just waiting for that first goal where we're like, now he scores. But now, actually good finishes as well. It's not the worst one. Like, it's actually quite, you know, sometimes hit the target, the goalkeeper saves, it's just outside and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, to even have that confidence, just come in and I'm going to go for it. You know, I agree with you. You know, I think he's been unbelievable, you know, on a level where he was when we won the Champions League and the league. And, you know, he's been playing right back, left back. Yeah. And I would say that again, you know, to have a defender in that age that can play all across the defensive line and do a great job, you know, we can't underestimate it. We need to be very much appreciating that because he's not moaning that he's not playing all the time. He's doing a great job. And whenever he comes in, it just feels very safe and secure. And I know, you know, he was halted by his injuries and we know that he's not been in form afterwards because it takes time. But now, hopefully, he can stay off his injuries. And when we see him finding the form and the levels that he used to have, he's for me, To be honest, one of the best defenders in English football, like Englishmen, to be honest, like from England, because he has so many qualities to play in all these positions across the defensive line and doing a great job. Yeah. And I think, you know, the way he's been playing now, we're lucky to have him, you know, because I understand other teams are looking like if you're not giving all the game time at Liverpool, he would play every single game for us, you know. So they might come club sniffing, and we'll see.
No, I think he's the perfect player to have, like in a like I guess an injury crisis. Like we've got like Tsimikas is out. I don't know when he. And we saw some pictures that he said back soon on Instagram, and everyone just lost their heads a little bit because everyone thought he's going to be out for 2 months or whatever with a broken collarbone. Hopefully it's not that, and he's going to be back soon. But like going into left back, and he's had some. I think he has a few shaky ones at left back earlier in the season when he's came on. Like, I think it was it Luton game where we were taught after that about like him not being. We're not as balanced when he's over that side because he's a right footer. But I think since then he's gone up more levels. He's gone up even he's getting if anything he's getting better by every game, which is like scary. Like he's playing like you said that the season we won the league, he was playing at centre back every game. But this season he's been right back, he's been centre back, he's been left back, he's been all over the place, and he's still producing levels of like high quality. And it's like. It's just boss to see. It really is. And I think similar to Matip before he got the injury, sadly, he was producing boss levels as well. And I think it's clear that like the after last season, how bad we were, it's clear that it's been like there's been some honest like discussions and like stuff happening in the dressing room to overcome that, and knowing that we're going to get new players in, but also the players that are here. If you want to stick around, you've got to show the levels that you've shown in the past. And I think it's hard to see that happening when you know like a player's like not hitting the level, and you can see it every week that they're not the same player they were, and then all of a sudden they start putting in performances. You're like, fucking hell, where was this like last couple of years? But it's like you said, injuries and like rhythm and form and like all that stuff comes into it. But then Gomez has just been ridiculous. But like what are your thoughts then on like I just said, like being 16 points better off last year? We were 10th, now we're top of the league, 3 points clear, we're 5 points clear of Arsenal because they've had a bit of a nightmare the last couple of games, which has been quite funny to see, to be fair. But Villa are our closest rivals at the minute. Of course, mm-hmm. Man City have got a game in hand, so they'll probably go on 43 points. They'll be 2 points behind us. But it's just lovely to see, like, halfway through the season, top of the league. There's a long way to go. City are getting De Bruyne and Haaland back soon, so they'll probably start hitting form and winning multiple games, going on runs, winning loads of games and whatever. We're losing Salah and Endo. We still haven't got Robertson back. We still haven't got Thiago back. Bichetta, there's still loads of players out for us as well. Szoboszlai is out for a couple of games. I don't want to say it's going to be a tough January, but I think it's going to be another test. And I think like we've been passing these tests when they're coming up, and we're like, oh yeah, this is going to be a tough couple of games, and we get through them, and you're like, fucking hell, Liverpool have got through that. It's like taking it in small segments and just like seeing how we get on. But I feel like this month's going to be a proper test of where we are, because we're, like we said, losing Salah and Endo. Salah's, of course, incredible and is one of our is our main fella up there. Endo has been absolutely incredible in that sixth position. So we're going to miss those two, but if we can, I'm interested to see how Liverpool react to that, basically.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to start off also, you know, compare last season at this stage and, you know, now. I think, you know, when you look back at it, we had like a team where things weren't going great for a lot of players, and collectively we weren't good. We can look at the new midfield with loads more energy, and I would say more creativity and runs in them as well. You know, it's quicker feet, it's a little bit more, you know, bodies and more strength. But I think the key is also that we, you know, you've got Van Dijk back at, you know, the highest levels. He was not as good. He was not as good last season. You know, it was many you say, you know, he looked very, he looked a bit slow, sloppy, lazy, to be honest. And I was, you know, giving him critics because I thought, you know, it looks a little bit, like he was not motivated or whatever. But, you know, I think it's key that he's back on this kind of levels where he's world class, because that gives stability for the whole team. And then obviously that we got the world's best keeper gives stability. And I think also when we look at the midfield and we think about how loads of new players actually might need time to come in and, you know, get themselves adjusted into the team and feel that they actually understand the way we want to play. I think all have done that very, very quick. And that also feels like it can only get better in that way as well. So I think that's the key thing. And I also think that with Endo and, you know, people when we were, there were rumors about we might buy this Japanese player from Bundesliga, a team in the bottom Stuttgart, was it? And people were like, oh no, because we want to have Caicedo, we want to have Lavia, we want to have, and you know, you sit there and be like, ah, we'll see, you know. But you know, when in the end of the day, when you look at it now, when you see that he was costing like £16 million or whatever, you know, comparing him to Caicedo or Lavia or whatever, you know, fucking hell, we bought, you know, a little gem, even if he's a little bit older, but he's been brilliant because now he's finding his feet. He's been adjusted to the Premier League pace. And I think, you know, the way he plays now, it's very calm. It's very safe. He's very good at blocking the opposition coming through, you know, to get to win back balls and stuff. And now he's also like, because we were a little bit critical with his movements and, you know, with the ball, sometimes he lost it quite easily in the start of his career with us. But now I feel that, you know, he's getting into the rhythm and he should have the praise because he's actually made sure that we got like a balance defensively in a midfield that we needed, like this number six, because all the others are more offensively in the way of playing, and that's their, where their ability and skills are. But I think him, he's just make it simple, win the ball, give it to someone, and he scores some nice goals as well. But I think he's just very clever, and he's one of them where you think like this guy could be the next James Milner for us. Someone who comes in, do the job, no complaining, no moaning, just being a utter professional. And then when he leaves in a couple of seasons, maybe whatever, whether you know he stays for until he's older or not, we will look at him and being like he was the like of James Milner, he was the Lucas Leiva, like, because he's just done the job and he was very important doing the job for us.
Yeah, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago. Like, he's, if he can be like the tacky equivalent of like the midfield, then you know, like just coming in, doing his job, getting off, like scoring some goals. Like, I just think like his level. I think even he said recently, like, he won the, of course, he won our player of the month because he deserved it. He was saying like it was the toughest December he's ever had. It's like, yeah, get used to that, lad. You've got to start come back and produce a bit more of that, because he's been tremendous, like just getting stuck in. Like he was a couple of seconds off the pace a few weeks ago, and he's tightened that up completely. I think like some of the players we've mentioned, like the likes of Gomez, the likes of Van Dijk, they've just tightened up. They know they've got the quality. It's just tightening up those things and showing it a bit more. I think Endo's, of course, got quality. He's so experienced and whatever. But I think like he started to proper show about what he's about, and it's been boss to see, it really has. Because players like that who are questioned, you support them more, I feel like, because of the online presence, and like they get more grief, it seems like, the likes of Nunes and Endo, when they like early stages, when they start doing well, you start to be like, yeah, you want to support them even more, because you're just happy that they're getting some praise and whatever. I think I guess players go through phases, like that. Curtis Jones is now getting a bit of praise as well, and Gomez is getting more praise, etc. So it is nice to see like players like that getting the credit when it's due as well. But yeah, Liverpool top the league, 20 games gone. But we go to the Emirates tomorrow, 4:30 kickoff in the FA Cup. Again, I think Klopp mentioned it's probably the hardest draw we could have got. We, of course, played them not too long ago at Anfield, and it was a bit of a mad game. Of course, scenarios where we could have got decisions would have helped us out massively, but I guess this one's going to be a tricky one. I think when the last time we played them in a domestic cup was the League Cup, when we went on to win it, and Jota scored twice at their place after, I think it was 0-0 first leg, and then we went there and beat them 2-0. Jota scored twice. They were in a different place then. I guess we are as well in terms of our development, but I think they're missing some players. We're missing some players, but it's going to be a massive game whenever you play like an Arsenal, even if it's at home or away, whatever, even if not the whatever cup it's in, it's always going to be a massive game. I think like the FA Cup to get to the next round, especially when we've got Fulham coming up and there's loads of games thick and fast in January. Of course, we've got that little winter break where we play before we play Bournemouth, which is going to be very much needed so we can get the likes of Obisliers back in the team. But this one's going to be, I'm looking forward to it, to be honest, because I feel like, again, like I said before, it's just like I'm intrigued to see how Liverpool react to these tests, like going to Arsenal away in the FA Cup. If we go out, then yeah, so be it. But I want Liverpool to go pretty much full strength for this. It's Arsenal. You want to make a statement. You want to get through to the next round. You want to, again, like we did in, when we challenged for all of the cups, but we want to go as far as we can. I feel like this is a good opportunity to to show where we are, to show where we want to go, and to show how good the squad is as well. Because, like I said, no Endo, no Salah, and no Zobislai, etc. But what type of lineup are you thinking for this one? I think it's going to be a hard one to call, I think.
Yeah, no, because of the Fulham game on Wednesday, is it like a first leg of the semi-finals in the Carabao Cup or League Cup, as we like to say it, obviously, and call it. Because we still want to go for that one, and because we play at home the first game, we want to make sure that we give ourselves an advantage there by, you know, winning that game. Quite, I wouldn't say clear, but, you know, in a good way. So, because we have, you know, a competition where we can go to the final and go to Wembley by making sure that we, you know, have a good game. Like I said, it's hard on tomorrow, Sunday, because I would like us to go out with the full strength, because the FA Cup is, you know, it's one of the, you know, most precious cups that you can win. It's the oldest one, you know, it's got loads of history. But at the same time, you never want it to, you know, be as a result of, you know, stupid injuries or whatever, because you're still, you know, thinking about the league and where we are in that position. But, you know, Sunday to Wednesday, and, you know, the days in between and the days after that, I think we should be able to go out quite strong. Maybe we come with a bit of rotation somewhere, you know, swapping some players. But, you know, it's still a chance of beating a team that would be considered one of their favourites to win the cup, Arsenal. And if we get them out of the way in a good way at their place, you know, showing our strength, it's another statement. And you said you go through the test and showing that you can do it. So I would like us to come out quite strong, but it's hard to say because of also Wednesday coming up with how we want to play that and get the results as well. So I don't know. What is your thoughts? I'm thinking what we're having available with, you know, injuries and stuff. I'm thinking who, you know, every game is somewhere where you can risk someone for injuries, because that can happen anytime. But sometimes it's a little bit of more of a risk if you play players that need more rest or, you know, haven't had minutes coming back and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I think it's difficult with the injuries that we have and the players we want to maybe save a little bit further forward.
I feel like, because like you said, there's the Sunday game, then there's the Wednesday game, then we don't play after the Fulham game till the 21st. So there's an 11-day gap there. Of course, that might change if we have a replay in this game, which fucking God forbid we don't. but I feel like when you look at the Newcastle lineup, for example, I think that was Alisson, Trent, Konate, Van Dijk, Gomez, Zobislai, Endo, Jones, Salah, Nunes, Diaz. So of course, we can't choose Zobislai's injured. We can't choose Endo, he's away. And we can't choose Salah because he's away. I think Kelleher can come in. I think that's an obvious one. You can put Kelleher in. I think you still go, I'd still go Trent. I'd probably put Kwanzaa in instead of Konate. So there's another change. You can change Kwanzaa in. You can go Trent, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk. I'd still go Gomez as well, to be honest. And then a midfield three, you could put Elliot in for Zobislai. You could put McAllister in the six. You could keep Jones over on the left. And then, I don't know, for right wing, I don't know. I think it's a difficult one, because if you want to, you could put someone else in midfield. You could put Elliot on that right hand wing, like we saw against West Ham, and he was tremendous in that game. So you could put Jota over there. I think it's always a bit more awkward because Salah's always fit. Like, he's never not there. He's always there. So you never have to think about that right hand side, because he's always fucking there. He's just so good. So when he's not there, it is a little bit like, if you put Jota over there or if you put Gakpo over there, it's going to be a little bit more awkward. I think Zobislai's played there before in the past. I think he would have been an option if he wasn't injured for over that side. But I think there's still plenty of options. I think McAllister and Jota coming back like they have recently has come at a really good time for us, like, because they can fill the gaps for players that are leaving for AFCON and Asia Cup and whatever. So I think like something like that. I think Nunes playing as well. Maybe. I think if you can get a goal and just kind of any game where you can get Nunes playing and getting goals and getting him a little bit more confidence is a positive, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think for the midfield, there's a chance that, you know, with Salah gone, that Elliot goes up that place playing to the right with a little bit of a different role maybe. But also that Gravenberg comes into midfield instead, because Elliot can play to the right side where Gravenberch can't. So, you know, instead of maybe changing, you know, Jota or Diaz to another side, I wouldn't mind to try that sometimes, because sometimes switching to the other side or the opposite side where they used to play, you know, that gives them something new, something extra. You know, they can create something else by playing that kind of way. But it's just a feeling that, you know, sometimes I get Klopp, especially away, that play Elliot in that position and coming down more defensively into more of a central role when we're not going forward, it's more stability going going in for defense. So I think that could be something. And then obviously with Gravenberch, McAllister and Jones in midfield. And I don't mind the swap with Konate for Kwanzaa, because Konate, we know we don't want to risk him. He might need a little bit of more rest and he plays Wednesday instead. I'm up for that with a bit of few changes, but then try to keep as strong as we can and actually give them a game, because, you know, it's another chance to, like I said, knock them out and go for another cup. I like to, you know, compete for everything. And I know that in the past, that, you know, with the League Cup, we have, you know, put the boys out, the young kids out, because of it's the lowest of the prioritized cups or league or whatever. So, but I want us to always, you know, compete for everything, because I want us to win everything, even though I understand, you know, it's difficult. But, you know, we've got a great go here. We're top of the league, and yes, it's a long way to go. But, you know, as long as we're there and actually showing that we will be there for the long term, you never know what's going to come in the, you know, long term of during the spring. And yeah, we're in the semi-finals of the League Cup. Let's go for that, because we are, you know, it's up there for the takes, because it's, we know, without being disrespectful, it's Fulham, but we know we should be able to get them over two games. And then in the final, it's Chelsea or
Middlesbrough.
So, you know, without saying they can't beat us, obviously, on the day, we have a great chance to win that cup. And we're very much showing in the Europa League that we are a team, you know, to maybe one of the favourites, obviously, to win that as well. And in the league, like I said, we're just showing that we're willing to, you know, put up a fight. We are there with the quality that's needed to win things. So I just wanted to go out there. But obviously, we need to do it cleverly and not risk players in a stupid way, so that we got the strength and you know, the squad to actually change, like with Kwanzaa for Konate, Elliot can come in and do a job for Salah and all that kind of stuff. It just makes me very happy, because, you know, it's been days where we've been like, okay, Salah's gone or whatever, and he's injured, and we don't really have any good options at all. But now we actually got quality in the most places where we know they can actually come in and be a player that can actually make a difference. It's not just someone who comes in and just needs to put, you know, cover that space or that spot. It's actually someone who can come in and do a great job in the way we play, and it doesn't make the collective less good. It actually, you know, stays the same kind of level, with exception for Salah maybe.
Yeah, I think the West Ham game, I always will reference back, because I think that was a game where we seen Elliot there, and he was just him and Jones in that game were just ridiculous. Obviously, Jones scored twice in that game, but Elliot was involved and everything. He was running around, he was getting stuck in, he was dropping deep, like you said, going into maybe a right midfield type position, but also getting up and supporting the attack as well. So I think Elliot over that side for a game like this. I mean, I think in the game I mentioned before, where Jota scored twice, I think we had Kay Gordon over there, which I think is mad when you think about it. Like, he was, like, obviously before the injury problems and stuff, and thankfully he's back now, but he started that game. I think is just, yeah, it's mad that I always think that's a bit crazy, but yeah, I think he deserved it at the time. But I think another one that we were maybe, I think, because obviously Owen Beck got recalled from Dundee, and I think maybe people were putting him into their starting 11s for this one, but it's been confirmed that he won't be able to feature because he's got a one-match ban to serve following bookings he picked up in the Scottish League Cup last July, which I think it's a bit mad, like, how, why it transfers from us. I understand his parent club's English, but if he picks up a couple of yellows in a Scottish Cup game, like, I think it's a bit bizarre that he has to then miss an English Cup game. I don't know how that really translates. A bit of a mad one, because I think he could have potentially, I don't know, he might not have even got close to this game because he's only just came back. I just think because from what Klopp said, I think he's, like you mentioned, something about, like, not being able to rotate too much. I feel like he's just going to go, he might just go like apart from like Kellerin and Kwanzaa, I just feel like he's going to go like as full strength as we can for these games, and just be like, well, we want to get as far as we can. Like, you can't, I think we're so scarred from the past about like Jota playing in games where, like, dead rubbers in games, and he gets injured and he's out for months, and we've been scarred by that in the past, where you're like, what happens if he gets injured? What happens if he fucking falls over and does this and whatever? Like, and you can keep yourself awake at night if you worry about all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to be like, well...
It's just because you never know about the future, though. Sorry to interrupt, but it's just when you mentioned that now, I got myself feeling straight away in my head, and my thoughts were like, if I knew that going out in the FA Cup without any injuries and, you know, League Cup or even Europa League, and that would mean that we kept our strengths and winning the league, I would take that. But
But in the moment, though.
Yeah, you can't predict the future like that and say if that happens. But, you know, at the moment, we need... Like you said, we have been scarred because we are a little bit scared about what can happen if Jota plays this game and he's out for another month and we've got very important games coming up in the league where we're now at the top, we're actually there and fighting for it. Will that affect us so badly that we lose a few points because he's one of them who can actually win a game for us with a goal, with a late goal or whatever? So we need maybe just stop thinking like that and just feeling like, well, they are professionals. You know, shit can happen to anyone, to be honest. Yes, we have a few that are more injury prone and stuff, but let's just go out there and fucking get through it and try to win it and show our strength. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we come out of it on the other end not too bad. And maybe we should just try to not think about what can happen and injuries and just be enjoying that we actually maybe be able to actually beat Arsenal away in the cup. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like I said, people just worry about that. Like when it happened to Jota and he was out for months and you're like, it does your head in. Because I think like something like a dead rubber game, like you shouldn't be taking any chances. But like for a game like these where you've got Arsenal, you can progress the next round in the FA Cup, and then you've got Fulham, where you need to go full strength again because Fulham have been playing well recently, and we need to be on our top form really. I think like at the moment, like you need to just be like, well, fuck it, like you need to these players and like will be busting a gut in training to make sure that they're picked for these games. They'll want like Jota's back. He wants to play every game. Of course he does. He'll see Salah going to AFCON as a opportunity for him to come in and start playing more games and getting more rhythm. So there's it's one of them. We need to go as strong as we can. If stuff happens off the back of it, of course, then people are going to go, oh, why did we play him? We should have saved him for this game. But it's like, that's easy saying it now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to say after the fact. Like, but it's at the time we need to.
Especially he's going out after like 40 minutes with an injury and we lose 2-0 and we're out.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, but that's the thing. If something like that happens, then Twitter's just going to be full of people just going, oh, why did he play this player? Like, fuck, you can always out for this game and this game. Like, I just don't get drawn into it. Like, it's easy to say, and I just think it's proper boring, to be honest, because it's like, just like, Klopp's not going to be like, oh, I won't play you because just in case you get injured. Like this against Arsenal, you need to be at least like 90% full strength to have a chance of winning, because they're gonna want to win. They're gonna want to beat us after not beating us at Anfield. They're gonna want to try and knock us out the cup. So we need to be,
of course,
again showing the energy levels that we've been doing, and you need your best players on the pitch to do that.
Yeah, and as a supporter watching the game, you want to see the best players. You know, I don't mind sometimes when we do rotation and we see young kids coming in that got potential and they get to show themselves in front of the crowd and in different games and all that. I'm very much up for that. But at the same time, when we're going away against Arsenal in the FA Cup and it's a tough game, you know, it's one of the, like you said, the hardest games we probably could have in this round. As a supporter, I don't want to see us like take a chance. I want to see us go full strength and actually, you know, let's go and do this, because I enjoy that. Because if we would swap too many players and maybe we rest him and we rest him and we're playing this kid here and we do this rotation here, I would sit and be like, well, obviously there's always a chance, but you know, but it's not as good as a chance if we would have played the best players, like the proper ones that we are used to, you know, doing great things every week. Because then I would be sitting there like, yeah, we're probably going out, you know, it's fine. But, you know, I would be a little bit disappointed if we didn't go for it, because as a supporter, I always want to see us win everything. I can understand if we do, like you said, you got Kwanzaa in for Konate and stuff. I understand that decision, because Kwanzaa has been good. It's not only coming in for, you know, him being a replacement for Konate. He's actually coming in for, being proving himself that he can play in those kind of games. So maybe that's a good rotation then, because like the levels doesn't get that. It's not like we put in someone that it's not very good at all and you just make sure that, okay, this is very, very bad. You still have the belief in Kwanzaa that when he plays. So I think as a supporter and a point of view from, you know, watching the game on TV and, you know, being excited for it, I want to see a full strength because that's our best chance of progressing. And I think, you know, that's when you enjoy your football as most as well, because you don't want to see someone actually, you know, we do it this big rotation. You'd be like I said, you'd be disappointed if that happens.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Liverpool, I think, need to be on top form and as strong as possible, because Arsenal are going to, like I said, going to want to knock us out. So we need to be fighting fire with fire. And I think we've, again, another massive test for us to knock them out. I'm interested and intrigued to see how we doing, how well we play and stuff, because I think it's all relative as well, because it's all about, we need to keep changing players to keep them fresh and whatever, but we need to keep rhythm and form as well, like going into Fulham and going into Bournemouth again, another tricky game away at Bournemouth, that's not going to be easy, and then you've got Fulham again, you've got Chelsea, so we need to be keeping players fresh and ready, but also like getting through, like I think playing players and then getting through, like if we beat Arsenal and we beat Fulham, like that like feeling of knocking those teams out and getting to the next round and getting closer to winning more cups, that's a feeling that players thrive, they want to win trophies and whatever, so it can give you even more confidence and more ability, so then when the next game comes around and someone scores a couple of goals like Nunes, then he's got a bit more confidence, same with Jota, a bit more rhythm, same with Jones, same with all them, like the players that need rhythm are just going to be even better.
Yeah,
and let's not worry about injuries. Like it's, I know we can do it. We can all do it, and it's so easy just to fall back on. But let's not worry, and let's just hope Liverpool can obviously stay injury free, but can get through the Arsenal game and hopefully give us a good performance and a win, which would be absolutely boss. But best time of the show, score prediction. I mean, maybe we should swerve the score predictions for non Premier League games, because we've got the WhatsApp group, and you get points for your a correct score and whatever. We don't really get anything for this, but we're just doing it for fun. But we might as well just carry on for now, score prediction, because I think it always ends the show in a finite way where we've gave our score and we'll see what happens. What are you thinking for this one?
It's going to be a tough one, I guess, being away at Arsenal. But, you know, I'm still going to go with my heart as Liverpool always win, obviously. But it's going to be a tough one. So I say 2-1 to Liverpool.
Took it out my mouth, 2-1. Yeah, it's hard to see us scoring more than two, especially without like Salah and Endo and whatever. Like I'm just interested to see how we step up. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, I'd absolutely love a 1-0, but I think people are worrying about a replay, aren't they? Like that's the thing, because it doesn't. I wish it just went to pens, to be honest. I always just think that's just an easy way of just like, right, fuck it, 90 minutes penalties, just get the game over with.
It's the same with the League Cup, though. Like, it should be the semi-final should be in, you know, another ground and just one game or whatever. It's no need for, you know, two games, one at home, one away. It's just very unnecessary in terms of how many games players already play in. So I would say semi-finals in the League Cup should be played in neutral stadium, whatever. Just, you know, to be like, okay, let's go. And if it's obviously 0-0 full time, you know, extra time or penalties, and just get it done with, because you know, it's an extra game that you don't really need, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stick with, it's probably boring to copy what you said, but I was thinking 2-1 before you said it, I promise.
yeah, I believe 2-1, you.
two ones would be a nice, I mean, I'd take a 1-0, I'd take any victory, just as long as you don't get a replay, to be honest. I mean, bringing them back to our place would be, obviously, it'd be a good game or whatever, but like you said, there's already loads of games in there where players are missing, and we don't want to give more opportunities to play players in games that we don't need to. I think that's the point, isn't it? So, but yeah, let's hope Liverpool can do it. And there's loads of other games coming up, which are exciting to get back stuck into and start obviously doing more of these shows and getting stuck back into it into 2024. So yeah, as always, we always say thanks for listening. 2023 was a very good year for us, and we had, yeah, it was, I guess records were broken in a way, in terms of like listeners and downloads and people following us on social media and on the audio platforms themselves. And it's lovely to see. So we do, me and Christian really appreciate it. And we do say thank you very much for listening to us. And of course we haven't done a show for what feels like 2 weeks now, but, yeah, we've got a very nice, loyal fan base, which I love, because no matter, like, even if there's like a big gap, we come back, there's still loads of listeners, which I I always find baffling, to be honest. Like, they want to just listen to us for an hour, like, and me with a sore throat trying to speak and having loads of water and Fanta in between, like, muting me mic because I'm having coughing fits and all that. But yeah, we really do appreciate you listening, and hopefully you stick with us in 2024, where we've got loads of other stuff coming up. But yeah, nice one for listening. Nice one to Christian, as always, for jumping on. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon, hopefully with Liverpool, and then to the next round of the FA Cup. Up the fucking Reds. See you in a bit.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Podcast Network.